Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us as we enter into a brand new year. I pray that you are experiencing the blessings of God, as we call it, a Happy New Year. There's a lot of difference between joy down in the heart and happiness, but that's historically the way we couch it as we say Happy New Year. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, during the course of this broadcast, right after a brief monologue, you're invited to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion, having a lively discussion today on several issues that I believe have a nexus in relationship to the unity and what we're speaking about. We're talking about today faith to keep standing in 2023, or we could call it what's happened to our freedom of speech, what's happening to our Bill of Rights, where do we stand on the issues that are so precious to the Christian, conservative, and the patriots in America today. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, our calendar changed. We've gone from 2022 to 2023, but the condition of our nation has not changed. The condition of our nation has not changed. I know that might come as a surprise to some of you. Some may have the idea that somehow, some way, when the calendar rolls over, January the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, of a new year, that somehow, some way, all of the old problems have simply gone away, dissipated, disappeared, and been eviscerated. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not the case. We brought into our new year the same problems, the same difficulties, but ladies and gentlemen, there is the same answer, and that is in the Lordship of Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. This is the reason we're looking at some of the issues that we're faced with today, but still standing faithfully on the promises of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. We need to have faith in God, to keep on standing in 2023. No, it will not be easy. In fact, may I simply say early on in this broadcast today that it's not going to be easy at all. In fact, I believe, and I'm not a doom and gloomist, I believe it's going to get worse each and every day during the course of the year that is before us. May I remind us that we have a king and not a president that's in charge. We're under the rulership of a dogmatic dictator in America today. And I believe that we're going to see the iron fist of the dictatorial mindset of the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democratic Party continue to prevail in our nation. Yes, I know a lot of people are thinking, well, you know, the Republicans in charge of the House now, we're going to change some things. Let me ask you how. They can pass all the bills they want to. They can make all of the resolutions they would like to. It's still got to go through the Senate. It's still got to then have the signature of Joe Biden. How many of these bills to change and to reverse the actions of Joe Biden do you think Biden's going to sign into law, even if the legislators pass it uniformly or in a major, major, major fashion? It won't happen. And so I'm not trying to be a doom and gloomist. I'm not attempting to simply say that we need to throw up our hands in a hopeless scenario. But ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very clear that the scripture tells us in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear through, the people mourn. And we have gone from one year into the next year with the mourning that I think still prevails in our nation today as a result of what we see taking place as the leadership continues to dissipate. In Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And that word reproach there, ladies and gentlemen. It simply means a dishonor, a shame, an insult. So righteousness exalts, it lifts up, glorifies a nation. But sin is a reproach, is a dishonor. It is a shame. It's an insult to any people. And ladies and gentlemen, that's where we find ourselves today. But I want us to be reminded that in the scripture, I call the truth book. It points us to the answer to all of life's problems. It points us to the answer book to resolve and have resolution for every question or every difficulty in our nation and around the globe. John 8, 31 and 32, in the context, Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14, 6, the Lord Jesus says, I am truth. And then the scripture says in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. And ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117, verse 2, it says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And so may I commend it to you. It's the truth of the word of God that endures forever. No, I understand there's some pop-up preachers and the pop-up theology and the goosebump voodoo theology that's now saying that the Old Testament needs to be jettisoned off because it has no authority in the Christian's life. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Stanley happens to be 1,000% wrong. May I say to you, it is the old and the new. It is the old covenant, the new custom, covenant, the Old Testament, the New Testament that makes up the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, and the totality of the Word of God that is, we find the progressive revelation of God to man. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I commend the book to you. And Jesus says, if you continue in my word, that's the word of God, you shall be my disciples, that you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, truth is not sought after today. Now, I know that might come as a shock to some. Some might think that, well, you know, the end goal in Washington, the end goal in the Marble Castle in any of our cities and counties and states are designed to seek for the truth and come up with the truth. No, it's not. No, it's not. It is simply truth is not sought. Truth is not submitted to. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see sheer detestation for those that speak the truth today. That those that will take a stand on the truth of the Word of God, take a stand on the truth of what is taken. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, a good illustration of that? In the $1.7 billion ominous bill, money spending bill that was just signed into law by Sleepy Joe Biden, about 92% of the legislators voted by proxy. They were not even there. 4,000 some odd page bill. Not one representative, not one representative, hear me, not one U.S. representative read the bill, and yet it was passed. One of those things, as Nancy Pelosi said with the Obamacare at the time, we've got to pass it, read it, and see what's in it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we see taking place, and you confront them about that, and there's major disingenuous remarks and unkind statements because, ladies and gentlemen, there's no seeking after truth today. In fact, according to some of the recent investigative polling that was done, found that 55% of the millennials, 55% of the millennials said this, each person determines their own version of truth. And may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that is the problem that we find in our great nation today, is a dislike, a dissing of truth. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I challenge you as I do each and every day to stand for truth, to search for truth, to learn the truth, and to be willing to defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a wonderful, wonderful identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24-7. Find the flag and the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good, good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing each of the staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Let me invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. Be kind of an eclectic approach to the broadcast today, but the end result and the overarching theme we're talking about is faith to keep standing in 2023. Our calendar may have changed, but the condition in our nation has not changed. We're entering into a new year with the same issues as we faced last year, and they have been exacerbated as the time goes by. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the real essence of some of our issues, I want to say, first of all, I think we need to be in prayer for the family of the Buffalo Bills player that suffered cardiac arrest and was placed in the hospital in critical condition. I'm looking at an article that states a little brief commentary on that subject. Buffalo Bills cornerback Delmar Hamlin collapsed Monday night in the middle of an NFL game against the Cincinnati Bengals and was hospitalized in critical condition after receiving CPR on the field. The Bills said early Tuesday that Hamlin suffered cardiac arrest and was hospitalized in critical condition. The article states further, Hamlin received immediate medical attention on the field by a team of independent medical staff and local paramedics. The NFL said in a statement, he was then transported to a local hospital where he is in critical condition. Ladies and gentlemen, behind the scenes, I understand that he had gone without a heartbeat for some 9 minutes. I'm thankful to see the rapid response team, the medical team there on the field that gave him CPR and hopefully will be beneficial. That is our prayer. But ladies and gentlemen, I go back to a question. Now, you may or may disagree, and that's your problem. It could be my problem. I don't know. But my question is, and the question is based on the silence on all media outlets. I've rolled the dial, listening to the media, reading article after article after article early this morning and right up until a moment or two before the broadcast today, to see if there's anybody that would even open the door to talk about some possibilities. Two or three things just is kind of curious about the whole event, ladies and gentlemen, is this. On the Communist Network News, they're interviewing a so-called female physician, and I don't know if she's a woman or man. It's supposed to be a woman, but we might have to ask the Supreme Court justice that was just seated a few months back, and she said that she was not a biologist, so she couldn't identify a woman. So I don't know if this is a woman or not, but my eyes and the observation of the conversation, I would say that she was a female, a woman physician that was being interviewed on the Communist Network News, and they were talking about all of the players kneeling around this one that was a downed player. And this female physician said, well, you know, I work in ER, and when there's an emergency patient, we pull the curtain to prevent others from seeing him. And all they were doing, the players, were forming the curtain to prevent the onlookers from seeing what was taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie. That wasn't what was taking place. You notice all of the players from both teams, they recognized the seriousness of the condition of the downed player. And so they were kneeling around him, and all of them kneeling. And when the camera zoomed in, you could see the distress on their faces. And they were kneeling to pray, to pray. And I don't know about you, but I was thankful to see that. It was a blessing to see that these football players were willing, even before the cameras, to kneel and to pray, asking for God to intercede, I'm sure, in the preservation of the life of the downed player. It didn't make any difference which team. But ladies and gentlemen, beyond what we see, beyond what we're being told, beyond what is on the news channels, my question is, did anything play into his cardiac arrest as a result of the COVID vaccination? Had he had the COVID vaccination? I don't know, but I am looking at an article dating back to August 2021. It's a lengthy article, and I'll just read the headline. It is time for the Buffalo Bills to crack down on COVID. And you read the massive article, ladies and gentlemen, and for 2021, 2022, there was a debate, there was a battle and dissension among players and among the leadership of the league as to what they needed to do, because so many players were refusing to take the COVID vaccination and to wear masks. As a result of that, the team was forced to wear masks while playing. They were forced to wear masks while practicing. They were forced to take the COVID jab. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at the article. In some place in the article, it states that about 86% of the players had already had 85%. 85% were, at the time this was being argued, 85% of the players were cut, this article says, because they were unvaccinated and they were required to do so within a certain period of time, or they would not be able to play on the field. So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know the end result. I don't know how many of the players were vaccinated. I don't know if this young lad, I think he's 24, 25 years old, and so I think I'm in a position, still less than 100 years old, to call him a young lad. But I believe this young lad perhaps had far more complications than just being hit. When you watch a slow replay of the collision between this lad and another player, I don't think it was severe enough to do what evidently has taken place. But it is my question, and perhaps you've got a question you'd like to ask. Perhaps you'd like to jump in on this sideline issue, if you please. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 831-0917. You think there's any possibility that the COVID jab had any potential harm or danger? Ladies and gentlemen, based on the statistical data, as of October of 2022, 1,502 sports team players in every field of athletics, 1,502 had cardiac arrest, dropped dead on the playing field as a result of the COVID vaccination. Now, I don't know how many others since the October 2022 number, but that was the number as of October 2022, and that still could have been a low number based on whether or not it had been properly reported. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that I'm concerned when I see things like that happening. I'm concerned when you see physicians across the nation and across the globe, physicians that have been pushing the COVID vaccination that's in the age group of 35, 36, 37, 40, 45 years old, dropping dead. They're calling it the syndrome. It is the sudden adult death syndrome. They're calling it SADS, S-A-D-S. That's what they're calling it, because they're not wanting to have the nexus and allow the public to see the nexus, the connection between the COVID jab and the sudden death of these otherwise healthy players and healthy physicians and those that have no other comorbidities, as they're calling it, but yet they're dropping dead. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an issue that I believe must be dealt with this year, 2023. I believe is the year that we need to have enough that will grow a spine, a backbone, and stand and say enough is enough and take a stand on the issue that is taking place in relationship to the COVID jab. But ladies and gentlemen, it's far more than just the COVID jab. It's far more than just the COVID sudden deaths, this mysterious deaths as a result of taking the COVID jab. It is far greater than that, the issues that we're faced with in 2023, that I call on each and every one of us to have the faith in God to keep on standing, keep on serving, keep on submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The telephone is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. I believe Pastor Davis is on the line. Pastor, go over the question or comment, please.
Well, Happy New Year, Dr. Youngblood.
Happy New Year to you and your dear family.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You are spot on with what you're saying about this player on last night. And, you know, God's got a way that's mighty sweet, you know, because it seems like our entire nation, you know, had turned away from prayer and everything that was pertaining to God. And, you know, God forbid, I'm really sorry to see what happened with the young guy. But, you know, God had to use that, I believe, as an instrument to bring this nation back to its knees. Now, I don't know the young man, and I'm sure that a lot of others don't know him on a personal level. But all of those that knew anything about prayer, I'm sure, began to pray for the welfare of this young man. And I'm so grateful that they didn't just count him as another number and just decide that we were going to carry on with the game because of the numbers and nickels and noses, like you usually say, that's involved, you know, with the financial part of it. They decided to postpone the game because this was a human life, you know, at stake. And adding to what you said about the Buffalo Bills, I read that, you know, a while back about, you know, how some of the players had a problem with them trying to make them take the COVID jab. And I know one, I don't know him personal, but I just know him by following his stats from other teams. But there were one named Cole Beasley that were playing in the NFL, had been with the Cowboys and some other teams, you know, in the past. And he was picked up by the Buffalo Bills. And when they told him that, you know, he said no, you know, to the jab. No matter how much money, you know, was on the contract, you know, I thank God that this young man had enough gumption to just turn it down and just stand up for what he knew what was right. So you're spot on with what you're saying, and I'm hoping and praying that this young man will be able to come through. But still yet, I still say that God had to use this to bring this nation back to its knees to help them to realize how important it is that we need to have prayer as a part of our everyday lives.
Absolutely. Pastor, you're exactly right. And the thing that was so fascinating and so comforting, if you want to use the term, when you see the fans from both sides of the aisle, if you will, from both teams' background, joining together, individual, and praying for him. When you see the players doing the same thing on the field, both teams that are adversaries on the field, but both teams willing to bow before God, bow before the cameras, in a serious sense of prayer, asking God to intervene in the life of the young man that was fallen on the field. And so it's Amen. A good thing, although it is bad in the long run, and I pray that he survives. My question is, will he? And the question that I am posing for our listeners today, could this be the result, another bad result, another heart cardiac arrest, another major fatal, if that is the case, injury as a result of the COVID vaccination? My most humble opinion is, Pastor Davis, that's exactly what we see taking place, but I don't believe it'll ever be admitted by the socialist Marxist media and or by the CDC or the FDA. I believe that it's something that we need to seek after, something we need to strive to have real answers during this year, 2023. Pastor, I had one article that I read where a major scientist/physician, Dr. Malone, said that he believes in the next 24 months, all of this will be unfurled, unveiled, and we will see the evil, wicked end result of the COVID vaccination and the deadliness that it has been, that it's brought about upon our nation and around the globe. Pastor, Amen. Thank you so much for your insight and for your view on this and your statements. And as you said, it is spot on, I believe, with what you've seen and what we're talking about today. Thank you so much. And again, Amen. Happy New Year, and may you have a wonderful day. Thank you for
Thank
calling.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, our subject is faith to keep standing in 2023. Where are our freedoms? What's happening to our Bill of Rights? ladies and gentlemen, as we look at this year, let me just recite some of the things, and we'll walk through a few of them. It's an impossibility on a one-hour show to go through all of the things that we've been faced with in the past, that we're still faced with now, and where we're going. But we're in a very, very serious position for 2023 financially. President Biden has said that we're not in a recession. President Biden has rejected the fact that we're going into recession. The ones that are around him, the scabs from the Obama administration, and those that are the socialist Marxist globalists, that they've been saying, no, we're not going to have a recession. But ladies and gentlemen, that is simply contrary to all of the facts and the details. I'm looking at one massive article. It says 2023 spells big trouble for the U.S. economy. Majority of big banks are warning of recession. The vast majority of the economists at 23 large financial institutions surveyed by the Wall Street Journal predict that the United States will fall into the grips of a serious recession in 2023, and millions of Americans will lose their jobs, this article says. Then it further states, more than two-thirds of the nearly two dozen institutions, which include trading firms and investment banks that do business directly with the Federal Reserve, expect the U.S. economy to contract in 2023, according to their reports. The institutions that predict a coming recession expect consumer spending to weaken as Americans deplete their savings, and an aggressive Fed drives up borrowing costs, and as banks' lending standards get tighter and tighter. Further, the article states, soaring U.S. inflation, which in June of 2022 hit a recent peak of 9% in annual terms as measured by the Consumer Price Index, CPI, has forced the Feds to raise rates at its fastest pace since 1980 in a desperate bid to relieve the price pressures. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at another article. And it is a recession inevitable in the coming new year. Experts deliver 2023 predictions. Heading into a new year, numerous notable experts on the economy and financial institutions delivered a dire prediction for the 2023 recession. President Joe Biden, this article says, claimed that the United States economic situation doesn't sound like a recession to him. President Biden declared that a recession hasn't yet happened. He said he didn't think there would be a recession and added that there could be a very slight recession. What's the difference between a recession and a slight recession? Biden proclaimed that Americans don't need to prepare for a recession at all because we're not going to have a recession. However, many economists and experts and business leaders are warning that the recession will happen this year. 2023 recession could be brought on by inflation, interest rate hikes, and supply chain issues. In October of 2022, J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, warned of a hard, hard recession in America that begins within the first 6 months of 2023. In December, Dimon stated inflation is eroding everything in the American economy, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that sounded like harsh news. But I believe that it's time we as conservatives, we as Christians, as patriots, that we recognize what has happened and we recognize the source of it. And it goes right back to the deceitfulness of the leadership in the Beltway in Washington, with Joe Biden seeing it taking place and still saying, we don't have a recession. We're not going to have a recession. He doesn't see a recession coming. And at the same time, it's coming like a freight train. So why do I mention this, ladies and gentlemen? It is simply because we need to understand where we are and where we're going as a nation, to recognize that we still had the same problems of last year, and I believe they're being exacerbated day by day. But based on the biblical record, we need to understand that God is still in control, God is still on the throne, and God is still watching over his own. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't bring this information to in any way demean or to detract from who God is, but to let us know that as believers, we need to depend on him and not on self. The scripture says, lean not on thine own understanding, but in all of thy ways, acknowledging him and allowing him to direct our paths. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. In about half an hour on Capitol Hill, Republicans will pick up right where they left off trying to elect a Speaker of the House following yesterday's three failed attempts. California's Kevin McCarthy, the lead contender for the speakership, but so far he's failed to get the required number of votes, 218, to get the speaker's job. Parts of California bracing for more of what they've already had in recent days. More powerful storms are on the way this week. The National Weather Service says the incoming storms will bring flooding rains, will impact the coastal ranges and some urban areas, particularly around the San Francisco Bay Area. Later today, President Biden pays a visit to a notoriously dilapidated bridge connecting Ohio and Kentucky. He'll be there promoting his administration's infrastructure agenda. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 105 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're reflecting on 2022 in view of 2023 and asking the question, what should we do and how should we respond? And I'm saying very clearly, very forthrightly, that we need to have the faith to keep standing in 2023. In fact, in Psalms 146 and verse 3, the Bible challenges us, cautions us, put not your trust in the princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. We are in a position today, ladies and gentlemen, there is a division, not just between parties, but within the parties. There's a battle taking place in Washington now. Kevin McCarthy wants to be Speaker of the House. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I've said for quite some time now, Kevin McCarthy is a rhino, and I want you to understand, I'm not for Kevin McCarthy being Speaker of the House. He may wind up being Speaker of the House, but I'm not for that. He is one of the major, may I say again, major causes of the stumbling and the falling around during the Trump administration that prevented President Trump from being to effectuate the changes that he wanted to change in the draining of the swamp in D.C. It was Kevin McCarthy behind the scenes and several others. But Kevin McCarthy, ladies and gentlemen, is not a conservative. Kevin McCarthy is not where the average Christian is today in the conservative nature of where we think the political leaders should take us and carry us. I believe Steve Scalise would be a good choice for a Speaker of the House, but certainly not Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy is trying to negotiate behind the scenes, has been for over a month now, trying to negotiate behind the scenes, making all kind of concessions, even to the point, ladies and gentlemen, saying, okay, if you will elect me as Speaker of the House at any time in the future, if there's five or more Republicans that want to challenge it, it can bring to a vote on the floor a no-confidence vote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a dangerous position to put our leadership in Washington. But nevertheless, that's some of the concessions he's been trying to make. He's about as worthless as a $3 bill from the standpoint of anything we'd call conservatism, and yet he's wanting to lead the Republican Party. Ladies and gentlemen, the Republican Party is not where we need to place our faith and trust. The Socialist Marxist Democratic Party is not where we need to place our faith and trust. We need to continue to faith God and stand on his promises and understand that God is the one that's in control and not man, that God is the one that we need to look to and not government. But ladies and gentlemen, we still see the prevailing problems of 2021-22 going into 2023, even as I speak today. And I, number one thing, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe God's going to use this year, and I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, as Amos said in the 7th chapter of the book of Amos, the 14th and 15th verse, but I believe that we're going to find major collapse of the economic base in 2023. I believe we're going to find serious economic failures as we've not seen since 2008, in particular, ladies and gentlemen, under the Obama administration when the economy collapsed. I believe we're going to watch the price of housing dramatically drop. I believe we're going to watch a major exacerbation of employment across America. All the major financial institutions are already saying that, and yet the Biden administration is rejecting it and saying that's not true. But beyond the financial collapse, and by the way, you can go back to history past, and it's through health and through finances that God usually gets a nation's attention. It's through health and finances that God usually will speak and is heard more clearly than any other methodology God could use. Now, war, true. Enemies coming in, taking possession of the land, yes. But, ladies and gentlemen, it is true that God can get our attention as a people through finances or like thereof and through health or the like thereof more quickly than any other area that's possible. But ladies and gentlemen, we still face not just the financial dilemma that's hanging over us, but ladies and gentlemen, we face today with immoral policies of the Biden administration, the sodomite agenda, murder by way of abortion, the push for destroying our nation's youth through transgenderism is still prevalent, still major, and it's being exacerbated each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that was just the end of the year, December the 29th, says the CDC instructing all school officials to be LGBTQ activists. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just before I read any blurbs from the article. Since when did the CDC start intervening, telling schools how they should carry out their responsibility in education of our kids in school? But yet that is being done. The CDC, the NIH, and the FDA, ladies and gentlemen, have become the dictatorial arms of this administration that's carrying out the orders of a king and not as a presidential leadership. Ladies and gentlemen, this article states this. The U.S. government is asking all educators to measure their commitment to the leftist ideologies of the LGBTQ movement and is offering ways to help them make sure that they, speaking of the educators, are better allies to the radicals pushing for students to be sexually disoriented. It is the Center for Disease Control that posted online its LGBTQ all-inclusivity in schools and self-assessment tools. The CDC, which lost much of the credibility normally given to a government office through its widely desperate statements during the COVID-19 pandemic, through the publication Pushing Advocacy and Membership in the School's Gay/Straight Alliance, the social transitioning of our children, including the use of facilities of the opposite sex and decorating classrooms with LGBTQ propaganda. That's being pushed by the CDC for our schools, ladies and gentlemen. This is the reason you know that I've said now for years and years and years, in fact, my bride can tell you, I said for the past 35 or 40 years, take your kids out of the governmentally controlled schools. And right now, the governmentally controlled schools, that's called public schools, are simply incubators for brainwashing our kids and our grandkids. It's simply incubators for the sexualization of our children. It's incubators for the grooming of our children to submit to the LGBTQ sodomite agenda that's on the horizon that's being pushed today as never before in the history of America. I've said for many, many, many years in different settings, in different venues, in different conversations. If you want to know where America's going, if you want to know where America's going to be 5 years from now, and I've said this using the same terminology for years and years and years in the past, if you want to know where we're going, where we'll be 5 years from now, look at England, look at the UK today. And ladies and gentlemen, at this moment, according to the latest statistical data, about 2% claim to be Christians and stick to the Christian ideals and the biblical values in the UK. That tells us where we're going in America. When you look at what's happened in the UK today, we understand the dissipation of morals and ethics and values on a fast track that's never been seen in America, but it's on the fast track for our nation. And ladies and gentlemen, Rachel Levine, used to be Richard Levine, before he became a she, wears a dress, long hair, and glasses. But it doesn't change, ladies and gentlemen, the dynamics of the biological truth that Rachel Levine is still a man masquerading as a woman. But Rachel Levine, this article says, urges all doctors to go full big brother on sex changes. President Joe Biden's top transgender advocate, appointee, said body-altering, gender-affirming care for people attempting to live as the opposite sex is not in scientific or medical dispute. In other words, Rachel Levine says it's a medical scientific fact, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a dispute, she, him says, and is urging doctors to work with big tech companies to effectively help eradicate all such disinformation or misinformation. Rachel Levine, formerly Richard Levine, describes the onslaught of conservative anti-LGBTQ state legislative efforts, which mainly oppose the transgender youth agenda, as dangerous to the public health. Ladies and gentlemen, this witch, if I may be forthright, Dr. Rachel Levine, Undersecretary for Health, Education, and Welfare, ladies and gentlemen, he says that there is a danger when we as conservatives, we as Christians, we as moralists say that it's wrong, it's bad, and it ought not to be done. It's against the Word of God. Says that it is substantial misinformation, disinformation is dangerous to the public health surrounding the issue, and looks to tech giants to partner with health professionals to create a healthier, cleaner informational environment. In other words, it's the push to have further sequestration. It's a push to have further censoring. It's a push to have further shadow banning of all that we say as conservatives and Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about faith to keep standing in 2023, even when we see all of the ills and all the ails and all of the difficulties of 2021, 2020, 2021, 2022, as a result of the COVID lie. We still see these on the horizon. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Another major issue, ladies and gentlemen, that should cause us to have faith to keep standing in 2023 is the fact that we still have an attack on the fundamental conservative, moral, ethical, Christian values. I'm looking at an article that you would think would have dissipated by now. It's dated January the 2nd. It says pro-Trump MAGA hat is free speech, according to the courts. A teacher who wore a Make America Great Again hat to school was engaging in constitutionally protected free speech, according to the U.S. Appeals Court, as they just ruled. Eric Dodge, the teacher who wore a hat to 2 days of teaching back in 2019 at the school in Washington State, taking it off before entering the building, but setting it near him. Caroline Garrett, a principal of one of the schools at Way East Middle School, told Dodge on the first day to use better judgment, end quote. On the second day, she allegedly said, quote, what is the explicative deal with your hat and you? And called the teacher a racist and bigot before telling him to bring his union representative the next day as they spoke. In response to Dodge's lawsuit claiming constitutional violations, Garrett said she was motivated by a desire to prevent disruption to the school, which employed Dodge as a science teacher. But Dodge wearing his hat was speech protected by the United States Constitution's First Amendment, a panel of U.S. Court Appeals said on the Ninth Circuit that it on December the 29th ruling. Principal Garrett asserted that administrative interest in preventing disruption among staff does not, here's what the court said, does not outweigh Dodge, that is the teacher, his right of free speech, end quote, according to the U.S. Circuit Judge Danielle Forrest, writing in the majority opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about those things that were prevailing in 2022. They've not changed because our calendar changed. We're still faced with the prosecution and the persecution of Christians for where we stand, what we believe, and what we see taking place in our nation today. In fact, the First Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, is hanging by a thread. The First Amendment, our constitutional guarantee of free speech and religious liberties, hanging by a thread. Here's an article that says, Democratic senator called out for misinterpreting and misrepresenting the First Amendment. Democratic Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland appeared to backtrack Thursday after he claimed that people who espouse hate speech were not protected by the First Amendment. Quote, if you espouse hate, if you espouse violence, you're not protected under the First Amendment, Cardin said in a clip from the hearing he posted on Twitter on Wednesday. So I think we can be more aggressive in the way that we handle that type of use of the Internet. Our First Amendment is one of the defining jewels of this country, Cardin posted on the 14th with his 14-second video Wednesday. It's not a free pass to spew out rhetoric. The Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression called out Cardin Wednesday evening on Twitter. Quote, there's no hate speech exception to the First Amendment. Free speech is free speech. No such thing as hate speech being counted as unacceptable speech. The Supreme Court has repeatedly held that there's no hate speech exception to our First Amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's under attack heavily. And if they can take our First Amendment, that is our religious liberties and our freedom of speech, the next thing would be the Second Amendment. And without the Second Amendment, we cannot protect any of the other amendments in our Bill of Rights. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go over the question or comment, please. Tom, are you there? Well, Tom lost his signal or he hung up. I don't know which. But, Tom, you can call back if you're listening. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the faith to keep standing in 2023. Regardless of what is taking place, let me remind you, we need to hang on to our faith and the realization, the recognition that God's still on the throne, that God is still sovereign, that God is still in control. I'm looking at an article here. We're talking about now some of the things we're faced with in 2023 that carried over from 2022, and because our calendar changed, it did not change the issues that we're faced with. We're still faced with, ladies and gentlemen, the immoral political positions of the Biden administration. We're still faced with, ladies and gentlemen, the attack on our freedom of speech. We're still faced with, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that Joe Biden has a no borders policy that, according to the best estimates, and that's all it could be, for 2022, we had about 5 million for the latter part of 2021 and all of 2022 that came into the United States of America that are illegal. And by the way, those that are on television and radio, major broadcasters,